Quimble, you want to lead off?
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about the process of this before we get started. Part of my role and responsibility is to formulate and recommend a budget to you, which I have done now and will be presenting to you today. I know that based upon past history, many of you might have some different thoughts about what you want to see from various departments and programs and activities. And I would suggest that we don't get involved in any great extent in that during this process, but you list them for something that you might want to do in the next year. And that hopefully, in order to keep moving along, that we don't have any significant extended philosophical discussions about various topics that may be of interest to you. So as much as possible, I'd like you to concentrate on the appropriations and the overall function of the particular department that you're looking at. So with that, I just give you any feedback you might have on those suggestions.
Did you get my email?
Pardon?
Did you get my email?
No.
Okay. As we go into this, and I'm kind of interested on the front end of the budget discussions because it's a terribly difficult cycle of there's a lot of things that we have to somehow cover that just aren't in the budget yet, and I'm greatly concerned about that. And but I would like to actually hear from the council members present on, you know, what are the priorities for the city going into next year, because we can deal with the minutia of the details here, but there's some big picture items that, you know, ahead of time I'm kind of interested in flushing out.
Okay, you want to lead off?
Sure. Let me pull up my list. The biggest one for me, and you know, I've been talking about this for, I don't know, about 8 years now, is the structural issues that we have with our budget. We're not just looking at it. We've got the up to 11% increase this year, but that doesn't get close to solving the long-term issues that we have. We have a lot of financially unproductive infrastructure that requires heavy ongoing subsidy year after year after year. And for 8 years, and continuing to this point, we still don't have a plan in front of us for how we're going to fully fund the infrastructure. It's really hard to know if we're heading in the right direction with the budget until we have a plan that's going to get us from where we are today to, for example, in the case of streets, the 22.9 or whatever adjustment there would be million per year to maintain our current assets. I'm disappointed that coming into the budget cycle, we still don't have that plan. I mean, how many years have I been asking for this very same thing? And it's frustrating from that standpoint, but we absolutely have to maintain what we already have. And if nothing else, it at least allows me to laugh hysterically at the notion that we'd be throwing public money into a new sports stadium until we get that resolved. Public transportation, obviously huge. It looks like there are some good improvements in this budget. Public safety, I feel, needs more staffing, not currently included in this budget, something that we probably still need to address. We just have all these unanswered questions right now with the planning department. How do we get a planning department that does what we need to? We don't have any indication of what way we're going to go on that yet. We may need to set aside some money to potentially fill in some of the holes right there. Let's see what else I got on here. We have things that we are absolutely obligated to do, and I think some of you received that note today about concern that the Emerald Ash Borer is not going to wait for us to finance addressing it. So shortchanging what's needed to mitigate and address the Emerald Ash Borer is not a long-term solution. And I think last, we've heard a lot about the sustainability of the city, which certainly part of the infrastructure is this sustainability piece. The financial sustainability of how we're building the city. We're not doing it right now. Certainly that sustainability coordinator that we've all heard a lot about is a step in the right direction of handling that. I think these are all critically important pieces, and some less important ones. I still fully intend to initiate a broadband market study in 2017 based on the overwhelming support of the community and the fact that we have a business case that shows it's viable as a community. So these are some of my priorities, and as we get into the budgets, I'll be pulling some of this out in terms of the details.
All right. Is there anyone else who wanted to share some thoughts before we get into it? I mean, it's helpful to have some sense of what is important to council members so that as we do come across some of the individual budgets, whether it be, you know, the Park and Rec and Tree program or et cetera, we can pay special attention rather than take a thick look.
I would say maybe to echo and put a spin on one of the sentiments. I think part of the discussion that probably has to come toward the end of this is some evaluation of where this puts us relative to the staffing plan that was presented. I share some of the concerns about several of the areas that, and for complete understanding why you're not recommending additional positions, but I think to get a grasp on what's a realistic outlook for the growth of the city services, given the ability to add positions that way, and what kind of systemic effect that's going to have down the road, because we've rolled over positions prior, and now to roll over more and more positions, I think it's just showing how out of skew that hiring plan probably is with what we can realistically achieve. And so I think there's some back and forth. I know we're working against some insurance, hopefully some type of insurance catch-up dollars, but I think we do have to be realistic about what that deficit in terms of providing ample employee resource to certain areas where we know we are running a deficit already. So that was one thing that stuck out at me.
Actually, I've been giving some thought to how I'd like to do the budget process next year. It's a little late in the game now for this year, of course. I've never felt real comfortable with this process because we go through a lot of detail in a relatively short amount of time. And maybe picking up a little bit on what Mr. Campion was saying, something that I'm going to propose later on is that perhaps in roughly July of 2017, I'm going to suggest that the city council and senior staff have maybe a two-day retreat where we could maybe get some forecast of where we're at, what the revenues are looking like, so forth, and talk about those priorities that we might have as a council or as a city, so that we get involved at the front end. As city administrator and staff start to put together their budget over the ensuing months, because it always seems a little awkward that here we are arguably at the 11th hour and we're going to make changes in alignment with, you know, our hoped for priority. So anyway, that's a discussion for another day, but I'm going to, and I think the county does this, and it seems to work for them, so I'm going to suggest that we plan for as I say, maybe a two-day retreat, get out of town, you know, where we can focus on discussion and talk about where we're at in terms of budget to date and forecast and what are our priorities. So that we give better guidance to the staff as they, in turn, set their priorities. So, Mr. Wojcik.
And I support the retreat. I had previously talked about, and that was one of the things I was going to introduce once we have the council-initiated actions on the agenda, but even earlier in the year to set up strategy and priorities for the year. I think that we need to drive that a little bit more, so I strongly supported that, the sooner the better, and I'm pretty certain our dinner meetings won't be coming back, and I think this is a much better use of some of those resources to get things done for the community.
Yeah, I agree with what's been said, but I also agree that we're kind of at that 11th hour. We're going to do this stuff, and we really want to take a good look at what's happening and what's not happening and where we're at. Especially when you talk about, Michael, when you're talking about the streets and roads, that's something that we really have to work on at a much earlier stage, just so that when we get here, it's done. This is an awful difficult time to, again, try to make that. But good points. Yeah. I mean, I'm not arguing the points. I think that they're valid, but I do agree with Mr. Staver that we should do, this should be the stuff that we plan to make that a mid-year kind of discussion so that we can really work on those things. Because those are serious issues.
Stay there.
And they're going to take they're not going to be easy 5-minute discussions. So.
And That's a fair point. I think part of what I'm getting at is this was, nothing's being sprung here. The city administrator has known for 4 months I was looking for this as part of the budget process, and it's just not here right now. And years going back before. I think my recommendation out of this is going to be, though, that we're going to have enough unanswered questions after the budget process that rather that I'd like to have plenty of money in the contingency beyond our typical $1 million so that we can address some of these holes later if need be.
And that's fair. I think that makes sense.
You know, and along the same lines, I think we've been reluctant on occasion to call the question and give some direction. So, again, not a discussion for today, but as an example of the broadband study. So early in the year, we call the question, Council, do you want to pursue this or not?
Yep.
Let's either kill it or go forward.
Absolutely.
If we let things sort of go along, if we don't say anything, then it's assumed, you know, that certain things are happening or not happening, and that usually gets us into trouble. So I think we'll have to be more upfront about saying, these are the things we really want to dig into, and we're just going to set them aside.
And that's exactly why I wanted to have the council-initiated actions, because two council members now, we're going to force an up or down vote on a whole bunch of things, which means people are going to be on the record, we're going to make decisions, some people are going to be happy, some people are going to be unhappy, but we're moving on.
That's fair.
All right.
Just a comment, the staffing issue has always been a problem, because I do think we need more to accomplish the kind of work that is necessary for the city and for the public. And then in terms of the retreat, I certainly think that's a great idea. It just to facilitate the discussion so that it be really impartial. And then LGA has had a big impact, on our possibilities for engaging in some activities. So I hope we'll continue stirring that lobbying effort to get our numbers up. I don't know why we're so low anyway, even though we got a little increase this year. So I agree with what else has been said.
And I agree. The thought I had is that it would be a facilitated discussion, and I think we could get an unbiased facilitator perhaps out of the League of Minnesota Cities. They'd be a great resource to help come in and just, you know, guide the discussion so we get through the agenda. So that's one of the ideas.
You can come in and do it.
No, thanks.
That's one of the ideas we'll talk about for next year. I was going to mention it in my annual comments. So, all right. Anything else? Otherwise, let's go.
Okay. When it all gets down to money, most of the councils that I've worked for over my 46 years have been very reluctant to drastically increase the property tax. And you mentioned that you didn't want these plans for how you take care of all the infrastructure. Well, it depends on how much money you want to levy. And you just don't have streets. You got, what are you going to do with the police precinct? What are you going to do about the 6 fire station? What are you going to do about the park and recreation master plan and implementing that? And so property taxes probably isn't going to cut it. So maybe future councils are going to have to look until they get the future property, future sales tax initiative again to handle some of that, and you set aside money for it. Other than that, you put together a bonding package and take it to the people and see what they say about it. I mean, you can put together a bonding package and all this and see what the property tax effect is and have a referendum on it.
Well,
give your guidance on it.
And you did make the statement that how much you want to spend, but the other side of that is how much infrastructure do you want to build? We've built about as much infrastructure as St. Paul, which has 250% more population.
Well, you've got to handle on that right now. You've got to vote. You know?
Right.
You're controlling that.
And that's why that plan is going to be so important for us to see.
Okay. Well, with that, what I'm recommending mainly is a budget that pretty much maintains existing services without much growth. And I do think, as you heard from some of the people on Monday night, there are people that aren't too happy with even with the amount of money that I'm recommending. But anyway, I'd like to start on Roman numeral 5 and go through some of the overall budget before we get into the individual department allocations. And so if you're there, or when you're there, I'd like to start out on employee services. Goes up $2.9 million, basically. That is, takes care of a 2.75% increase. Plus, there's about $570,000 added to that for some of the 22 positions we approved last year. but only did it on a three-quarters time. Regular overtime goes up by $213,000. Most of that's in the police and fire department. Other pay is mainly retirement. Some of that's probably my money. Employee benefits, other pensions, that's $527,000. And then you'll notice in all of the various departments that you look at under employee benefits for insurance, that goes up significantly. That's $2,019,000. And the increase in the health insurance premiums caused, you know, accounts for $1.6 million of that $2 million. Our health insurance budget for 2017 is $11.1 million. In 2016, it was $9.5 million. So the expert and professional services, you'll notice that we go through the various line items, that's up about $1.1 million. And I'll just indicate briefly in some of the areas that you might be looking at as we go through there. And elections, that goes down $113,000 because of the election judges not being around for next year. Under the airport salary and benefits up $56,000. Your customs up $52,000, that's for a fingerprinting machine and communications line. Under when you get into transit, under expert and professional services, that's $730,000, that goes up. Bioscience building in the common areas, that's a $61,000 increase. And a parking ramp under other expert and professional services, that's $240,000. Water reclamation plant, you'll see under engineering and architectural consulting, increase $102,000. And stormwater management, $55,000. Then going on down the line, utilities increase $631,000. Contractual services, $761,000. Material and supplies, a minus $290,000. Other charges, got $1,005,000 rounded off. And some of the areas that you'll be looking at there is the police administration. Computer equipment replacement charge, that's increased to $20,000. Police garage fleet, the vehicle replacement charge is up $51,000. Building safety administration, credit card percentage fee of $10,000. Under flood control, the vehicle and replacement charge up $39,000. Under street maintenance, the vehicle replacement charge is up $138,000. Community reinvestment, that's up $119,000. Most of that's associated with the Rochester Downtown Alliance. That's asking $100,000. The last year, $75,000 was in the CIP and paid out of other funds, which were no longer available. Under contributions, economic development, that's $175,000. That's mainly the share that goes to the Rochester Professional Visitors Bureau. Contingency is up $55,000 from last year. Under parks, the vehicle replacement is up $73,000. Bioscience common area, again, that's up $47,000. Parking in lieu of taxes up $53,000. In street maintenance, the depreciation is up $50,000. Water reclamation plant, in lieu of taxes, increase $70,000. The collection fees go up $200,000. Stormwater management depreciation is up $55,000. Bonds principal interest is down $353,000. Capital improvements is $25 million less than last year. Debt service is up $867,000. We'll review that, all of these things, a little later. So then, if you want to go start in page one, the mayor and council's budget. That shows the various entities that are funded under this particular budget, and the increase was mainly as there in 2017, you'll be hosting the League of Minnesota Cities, and we're budgeting $40,000 for that particular budget. You go to page two, shows the budgeted memberships. That pretty much like last year, a little bit of increase, about $10,000 there. So page three, employee services up $25,000. Travel is up $24,000 rounded off. And we talked about, each of you have listed your particular travels. And you know, I mentioned last year that we might have some system where, I mean, you've got your normal conferences that are budgeted, and probably the individual travel has been pretty much, that individual council members go wherever they want to go, and I don't know if you as council members want beyond your normal conferences that you want to have some approval of any travel by individual council members beyond that, or do you just want everybody to make their own judgments on what they go and how they want, what they spend the money on? I think as a body, you should have some control over where your colleagues decide to go and spend money other than your normally budgeted conferences. Subscriptions and memberships up $6,500. And so we got eight big mayor and council's budget overall is up $90,000, and $40,000 of that is for the league.
Steve, before you go on to that, just I had a note first about if we were going to, and what did we pay last year to have some youth go to Washington, D.C. for the March National League of Cities, and wasn't sure where that was. And apparently that's, Mr. Newman tells me, that's in the travel and training, that's increased, that we do have an additional $9,000, I think, in there for youth and the chaperone to go again with us, which I think was a valuable experience for us, but for sure for those students that are selected by the Youth Commission.
I can, if you just want to address travel, we've got everybody registered to go to the League of Cities. We estimate a couple going to the League of Minnesota Cities Legislative Conference, one going to the Coalition Conference. There's all the two National Cities Conference, we assume everybody's going to those. And there's miscellaneous in-state travel, and to try and cover the council members going to those. The two new things have been the Youth Commission, and then Michael had some additional travel that he wanted, which was about a total of $6,000 for that, that's added in there. But we did send you a note to ask if you had any other things that aren't covered under the normal one. And Michael was the only one who responded, so we put in what we normally do, and then plus those two things. Okay?
Mr. Wagner.
So there's two items on that. One, I noticed that we have a subscription for Urban Land Institute. Terry, is that you?
That's actually the mayor's.
It's the mayor's?
Yeah,
part of the regional council of mayors.
Okay. The only reason why I say is I've actually been... I'm not going to personally pay it this year, but I've been a member of the Urban Land Institute. I understand there's a special deal they make with cities for up to three memberships. So let's just coordinate on that so we get the best deal. One of them allowed a full membership then. I intend to do a lot more with the Urban Land Institute, which is why I put that in. But in the past, what I've told the council has always been reasonable is I've given back about up to $19,000 in benefits that I don't take at all. And I just keep my travel to well below that. And but because they asked for a budget number, I put in about $6,000, which should be pretty close to if I do the ULI conferences, pretty easily cover that.
Mr. Campion?
I don't. Did you say you put in for seven members to go to the NLC conferences?
We usually do, and I think that's responsible because something always else comes up.
Okay. I think as a budgeting factor, that's fine. I looked at the dates.
Wouldn't it be eight members?
Well, we do have eight.
Okay, all right.
Mayor and seven council
members. All right.
So, I'd be willing to give up my spot to make sure those students can go, because I think that's really valuable.
That funding for them is in here.
Good. Yeah, that's really up that's in there.
Okay. All right. Can we go to the city administrator's budget on page 7? That is up $361,000, of which $353,000 is under employee services. And added position, we added a position that Aaron will be coming into as of tomorrow in there. And then the other costs are associated retirement costs for my unused sick leave and unused vacation. I don't have anything else to point out.
Unless somebody raises their hand, we'll just kind of keep moving.
Okay. Then we go to the city clerk, whatever you want to go in case questions are asked. This is Aaron's last day as the city clerk, and tomorrow he meets in the office upstairs.
Mr. Wojcik?
Just one quick thing on the city administration. I was going to kick this around later, but traditionally as a city, we've kind of outsourced a lot of traditional administrative roles for the city, whether that be economic development, in our case, some of the planning. But one of the other things I was going to kick around, just food for thought, is that we're all pretty committed to the Our Neighbors program. And if you look at the funds that we're putting in there, it's pretty similar to having a staff position in the administrative office, which could probably be more useful resources and use of time. And I'm not pushing hard for this, but I think it's something that we consider is maybe that's a position that we look to internalize, as one of the recommendations was more of a neighborhood liaison. And maybe there's a way of merging those two expenses and creating a staff position which can be additionally useful. And I have no strong opinion on that.
I have a strong opinion. I mean, I think that's a good idea, and I brought it up with a few council members on it over the year. But I think the one thing I look at is the duplication of effort for some of those services, like being able to leverage internal IT so that we have maybe more resource to bring to bear on some of those issues, and having a clear designation for some of the tasks that we sometimes ask administration to do, which maybe would make sense to have someone that's neighborhood focused on. So I think it's a good idea. It's something we should maybe discuss with our neighbors and see what they would think, but I'd be open to talking about that. I had a question though on the budget. So the growth in the insurance plan under the employee benefits for the city administrator, is that associated with moving Aaron? Is that what you used? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I understood. All right, thank you.
Associated with the new position, and there was some normal increase for the other people in the office.
Okay.
All right. And then Aaron's position.
So adding two people in the other stuff as well.
And okay. I think, and then my retirement expenses.
That gets baked into the line item employee benefits insurance.
Okay. What about?
Yeah. Sorry, there's a line here, employee benefits insurance. I just want to make sure that's what we're pointing at as the line that has the benefit.
What is the assistant city administrator? Does that translate to assistant city administrator one or two?
Gary's a two, Aaron's a one, and we still don't know which.
So previous, okay. So basically, it's a two.
Okay, and then we have city clerk.
Right, Mr. Goldbeck had a question.
I just have a comment. When you find about our neighbors, there's one employee that takes care of 42 plus areas. So I'm willing to discuss it, but you're going to have to come up with a really, really good, compelling argument to get me to change my mind on that. Just basically because I've seen that program grow since 1995, and I know how much work and how stretched she is at this point. So I'm willing to talk about it, but I'm just telling you now.
Yeah, my support is actually to hopefully bring more resource to that department, not less in any way.
That's we're going the same way. We hear that too, and I think I see the strain and the amount of overhead bureaucratic stuff that could more easily be accomplished by the organization. Take that off of somebody's plate and free them up to more explicitly work with the neighborhood.
Just wanted to make sure we weren't.
Yep.
We're on the same page.
Robbing from one to help someone.
We are
okay.
With you, not
okay.
Violently agreeing. All right.
Okay. Okay, on page 11 for city clerk's office, that shows up $87,814. $37,000 of that is an employee services. $15,000 is for an open gov software that was added. That's under contractual maintenance and repair. And allocated to other activities, that goes down by almost $29,000, which affects the bottom line somewhat. I don't have anything else to point out on that.
Okay. And this might be a question for later. I don't know if this would fall under HR or city clerk, city administration, but assuming we do some national searches for people in positions, is that covered through the HR budget? Is there something out there? Is it through the department's budget?
Well, it would normally be, I think, so as you're probably talking about my position.
Mostly yours, yeah.
And I guess that would probably be in the city administrator's budget.
Do we have anything in there for a search?
No.
Probably would be contingency.
Right, we just have it covered by contingency.
All right. Yep.
Mr. Campion.
OpenGov. Yep. I'd like to see that be handled under the administration's budget. Okay. I'd like to see that under the administration's budget going forward, and I'd like to be able to hold the administration accountable for leveraging that tool for the city. So
that's a great idea.
So
it's under the city clerk right now, right?
You said leave it with the city clerk?
I guess the reason I bring it up is, like, to me, that is the level of this book that will actually be functional going forward, because this book doesn't give me very much history. I guess here's what I have for history is two lines on a piece of paper that line up the 2016 and 2017 budgets. I think having that source, all right, well, I won't beat a dead horse, but I would like to make a strong argument that we gauge more of the budget out of that tooling, because that tooling is incredibly powerful for drawing historical trends versus this book, which is probably expensive to produce and of limited use to our consumption, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Dale, could you maybe share what you told me, because I asked a similar question about the challenges that we're facing a little bit with this? Because I brought the same question up, and yeah, it's good information. I thought it was good information.
Well, I mean, their budgeting tool so far is not well developed. They're promoting it because they want people to sign up for it, but it's from my review of it so far, it's kind of a little bit of vaporware, the budgeting side of it. Now, we do have expenses, and yeah. I think a few of you have access to it to just try and give me feedback on it. We tried to do a preview with our own departments. We were ready to take it to department heads, and we were just struggling with performance of it. It was extremely slow. We were having a terrible time getting it to the little circle thing just kept going around.
Well, if it's not going to work, let's get rid of it.
Well, I mean, we've got about 2 million transactions entered into the thing right now for 4 years back in current year budget, but in my opinion, it wasn't ready for prime time yet. We're still working with it, and our staff person is working with their support people trying to figure out a way to improve the speed of it.
Let's draw that thing to a close, because either I would like to see it enacted, or I'd like to see it $15,000 credited back to our account, because it's kind of to me, that tool is filling a really important gap here. We don't have a meaningful analysis tool for our budget for people who are not...
I mean, the other way you can make it faster is obviously get less levels of detail, but then you get back to, well, why did this happen? And you can't drill into something, then it's of any use to anybody. So we were trying to get it all the way down to where you could actually do right through the transaction if you want.
We don't need to derail the entire budget review for it, but I am interested in having a longer discussion.
Another comment I would make is, as your role as city council, you act as a board of directors, or do you act as individual administrators? So how much do you need to get into the weeds on this stuff?
I have absolutely no desire to go to the depth that Dale is trying to make the tool go, but I do have a desire to see the overarching trends of our budget. Because not being able to point at people and say, look at the growth in public works infrastructure costs, mm-hmm. or look at the growth in the employee services cost, that's the sort of thing that you can't draw out of this book without going to a library and checking out the last 5 years worth of copies and then hand editing them into a spreadsheet. We need a tool that allows us to have that view, and we don't have it today. So if there's something else you guys would like to propose, I'm all ears. But what I heard is we don't have that tool. Let's go get that tool. We got the tool, and now the tool doesn't work. Okay, so take me back to the drawing board and help me figure out how to fix it. I guess that's my point. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way.
You have at least one person with you on that, and I agree with you. I need that tool for analytic purposes. I think staff needs it for analytic purposes, but I want it to make sure all of this information is available to anyone in the public that wants to see it.
All right.
Okay, then let's go to page...
agenda item.
And that obviously is down significantly, since there will be no elections in 2017. Page 19 is administrative fines. Not much happening in that particular area. Revenue is about $14,000 coming in a year.
Mr. Goldback?
Steve, or why are we not seeing an increase? I mean, we put more things that are covered by administrative fines. Why are we not seeing
this
that
is,
change?
Well, I think you guys split the revenue coming in depending on if it's certain things, don't you? I mean, this is not all the admin fine revenue we get in, or is this all of it?
If you recall during my departmental update last year, I mentioned that I suggested there's a disconnect between the council believing that more is better when it comes to assigning offenses to be prosecuted by the administrative fine process, and the folks out on the street, at least in some cases, who don't want to use it. And I'm speaking primarily of animal control at the moment. And as a result of that, I believe you asked for a review or some sort of a study as to what's being punishable by an administrative fine, who's using it, who isn't, and why not. And I haven't seen it if there is one.
Okay, thank you.
And all I can say, too, is what we have seen with that is that if it's property-related, it seems to work very well. If it's non-property-related, it does not have the desired effect. So that's where you talked about minor traffic infractions, animal control, things like that. Property-related ones, which is what Parks is moving to next year with some of their things that they do. It's worked well, and that's why we're expanding the property-related parts of it.
Okay, then we'll go to finance on page 23. Overall, $112,000 increase, and that's basically all located under employee services, which is up about $115,000. No additional employees. I don't have anything else to point out in that particular area. Okay, now let's go to page 27, which is the legal department.
Fine department, I guess.
That's up $67,000. $55,000 of that is located under employee services. The rest of it, I think, would be that $10,000 under contributions, which is the amount of money that we share in the Olmsted Council, Olmsted Justice Council, whatever they call it, OC.
Olmsted County Justice Commission.
Yeah. Questions on that? Under expert and professional services, that goes up and down. You can see we got $273,000 spent this year based on different lawsuits. I have all the detail of that $273,000, but I wasn't going to list it out. And so we try not to budget for it. What really happens in these years that we get that kind of money comes out at the end of the year in contingency if needed to come out of the contingency when all the budgets are tallied up. Questions? Okay, and let's keep moving along unless you say something. And we'll go to page 31, which is human resources. And Lindsay, you want to come on? That overall is up $92,000. $101,000 of that is in employee services, so the rest of it is pretty much all the same. Under advertising, publishing, printing, there is an increase for an increase in posting job vacancies with additional minority organizations. I don't have anything else to point out on that.
Questions, comments?
Okay. Then let's go to page 36. Lindsay, do you want to come up in case you have any questions on this? Planning? Entities, or we have money in here for the planning commission, $6,250, CUE, $2,050, the HPC, $30,000, energy commission, $6,255, and then also there is a tax levy that goes to township, the annexations of $2,806. Questions on that? Okay, thank you. Page 39 is information technology, and that is sort of area that's under Dale. Increase of $101,000, and 100 in employee services of $123,666. So actually, the other categories actually show some decline from appropriated 2016. Questions?
How are we doing holding on to folks?
So far, so good. Okay. I mean, I've seen some more advertisements by mail that make me nervous, but so far, so good. Okay. Keeping them so busy, they don't have time to look at anything.
appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Then let's go to page 43, which is City Hall maintenance. That's pretty much the same as we have in 2016, the increase of $7,029. And so other than employee services, there's a little bit of decline in the other categories. And with the roof is done now, and I think the building was washed, and the building's in pretty good shape.
Do we have a revolving fund for future capital issues on this at all?
In the building?
Yeah.
No. We had a City Hall maintenance account called 2008, but that was eaten up by the roof.
Yep.
And then some.
I think that this is one that I think we need to take the action of creating that account and putting an annual amounts to address future maintenance needs.
We really should do it on all of the general fund supported
activities. I agree.
Buildings, sorry.
I agree.
Steve, do you have any idea if you were to average that out, what that comes to a year as far as the building maintenance? And any of these things like the tuck pointing or roof?
The major expense that we had for capital, of course, was the roof, and
right.
20 years.
And
other than that, there's been some minor remodeling in the offices.
I
could get you the 20-year total.
Would you please? Because I think what Michael is saying makes sense, that we should have some sort of a small revolving account to try to build up for these things so they don't hit us all at once or hit the pocketbook sure we have. That would make sense.
Well, what happened with the roof, we ate up a lot of it. We had this economic development account for a number of years with about $1.6 million in it or something like that. And we still have some money left, or Gary kind of viewed it was his money.
We made it off projects I worked on, but it wasn't any money.
It was a sale of PEMSTAR and some stuff over the years that we accumulated some money.
I just think
it
would make sense if you could get that information to us so we could see it, so we could consider what the appropriate amount would be.
And we don't need an amount right now, but maybe an explicit direction from the council to create these maintenance funds.
Right, but I think it would help us to see what the cost has been, the capital expense has been over the last year.
And I agree. Before we put an amount in there, but do we agree that we need the funds?
Oh, definitely.
Okay,
so
good. Is that good enough for direction, or? Okay.
Okay, then let's go to page 47. Please, Department, Roger, join us up here. The whole thing is that this budget is up $1,518,000. $1,003,000 of that is in employee services. A couple of things I'll point out under temporary salary. That money belongs to an IT person that works with the police department, and that money is transferred to the CIP project for the intelligent led policing function. Regular overtime. The budget is $650,000. That's up $143,000. However, you know, overtime costs through October are $800,595. So it's. I know Rogers had a lot of injuries in his area to call back people and police and fire. The overtime is we've had a hard time maintaining that within the appropriated limits. The pension's up $138,000, and the insurance is up $427,000. Contractual services in the middle of the page, $904,216, and that is the police department share of dispatch. Under other charges, down towards the bottom of the page, the police precinct costs that are added into this particular budget is $182,000. We also have in there $25,000 for a drug investigation task force, $636,000 for vehicle replacement charges, $295,000 for computer replacement charges. Roger had a number of positions that he asked in 2017, and obviously I didn't recommend any of them.
Is there the summary of those positions in the book somewhere?
Those
I thought
positions?
There was. Yeah.
I'm not in this, but I can indicate what they were. There are four patrol officers, two dispatchers, one video technician, one record technician, one crime analyst, one program manager. $872,000.
And this is one of those that I'm inclined to include some of those positions.
Mr. Campion.
So that's an interesting conversation to have. The other one is, you said $180,000 is baked into this other charges line to pay off the police precinct, pay ourselves back. Is that correct?
No, operating costs.
That's the operating costs. Where is that under the SIP budget for paying ourselves back for the acquisition of the building?
No, council, since we approved a resolution where we were internally borrowing those funds, temporarily anyway, and there might be a small interest charge for that, I don't know, but our intent is when they get ready to do the expansion for the parking space of this facility, within 36 months anyway, if we do it then, we'll go back and borrow the full book and then term it out over time.
And get me refreshed. Got it. Thank you.
Mr. Bilbeck? Roger, can you give us an idea of lost time due to injuries this year versus past?
I don't have the specific numbers on that for this year. We are in better shape than we were last year. I think I relate to you last year when we had a very significant number of people out all the same time, particularly over the summer. We've not seen the lost time injuries at the same rate, although we still have three people that are out of long-term disabilities that we're trying to resolve at this point. The primary driver in terms of the staffing requests or the overtime requests are a need for additional staffing in the entertainment district, First Avenue and Third Street, which requires we maintain either two or four additional people in addition to regular staff on a regular basis, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. We had anticipated that would taper off at the end of the summer. It did not. That's strictly driven by calls for service. The other drivers in that, one of the ways that we're dealing with staff shortages is we are no longer providing or prioritizing off-duty work. That is when somebody has a security, an event that requires security. We have to fill the positions on staff, on shift first, which it's a little counterproductive in the sense that when we don't fill those security positions, it doesn't mean that there's no longer security needs. And so we fill the positions on shift. We still respond to the calls generated by special events. That's counterproductive in the sense that we're not getting reimbursed for that staffing request. But the shift staffing obviously takes priority because we need to have those available for public safety for the city in general as opposed to just specific events. That's what's driving a lot of our staffing requests. It's also driving the overtime requests that we've seen. What we will see in the future in 2017 is less revenue from extra duty reimbursement for those type of security assignments, while at the same time we'll be increasing the overtime cost because of the need for additional staffing, general staffing on shifts. So that's primarily the picture you're seeing there, as opposed to what we were seeing before with positions filled strictly due to injury.
And I guess my comment to all that is, I agree that this is an area I'd like to look at for additional staff, but my feeling is I'd like to wait until we're done with going through all the budget, so okay. We have all the requests, so we can kind of see where everything falls out, and then kind of go back then and look at where we as a council feel the highest priorities are filling. So it's good to know what jobs are out there, Steve. And then one time you had a list for us. If you could do that again, and then when the groups come up, make note if there was staff requests, because I think most of us are looking at the idea of adding some staff and just where. And once we get the idea of what everybody needs, that'll help us figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And while it's... Oh, sorry.
Just to interject, Mark, if you're looking for the overview of the city on workers' comp costs, it's all on page 30.
Okay, thank you.
It's not specific to the police department, it's the whole city.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, what I was to say is, you know, if we had a concrete answer at the end of these sessions on what we're doing with staffing, that's great. But as long as we If we maintain the runway that we have between where the where this budget is at and what our levy cap is, by rolling it into contingency, we carry that ability forward to make these changes. The key thing is not to not to pull it out of the contingency, or else it's gone. We can't use it.
All right. Okay. Then let's go to animal control on page 51. That increase is $1,084. And I don't really have anything to point out on that particular function. Any questions that you might have on it?
Questions, comments?
We just got to figure out what's going on with the administrative fines with them.
I'll respond to part. Generally speaking, the admin fines, whether it's from police, staff, animal control, and the enforcement functions, as I'm sure you're all aware, in the aftermath of incidents in Ferguson and Department of Justice, study and subsequent critique of city practices in regard to enforcement, where, albeit unintentionally, a enforcement for revenue process was set up in these places, that is, it's pretty toxic to the to policing in general. But I think staff has been very much aware of the impact of particularly in the area of enforcement activity as it relates to traffic or other, as was noted that there was the where property is involved, it makes a certain degree of sense. When there's other offenses involved, particularly animal control or traffic, where people are least likely in a position to be able to pay, and yet they're by definition minor offenses. That's creating the problem or the reluctance to use administrative fines as a method to produce revenue through enforcement. That was a practice that was highly criticized by the Department of Justice and one that we're consciously trying to avoid.
Well, and that's, if that's the case, and that is a very, it's a topic for another time, but then we should change our policies. You know, no sense having policies that aren't going to work.
I think, as was noted, it does work well in some areas.
Yeah.
In some, it wouldn't be good public policy.
I struggle a little bit more on the animal control side.
I can appreciate that particularly in regard to nuisance animals and some of the other situations that stem from an enforcement standpoint. I think the reluctance is and what animal control's first option is to resolve animal control complaints through other means other than enforcement. More often than not, we're dealing with people that have their reduced ability to pay or inability to pay in regard to animal enforcement issues. And if there's other means that they can employ to gain compliance or solve a problem, obviously that would be the first choice.
Okay.
As far as just while they don't employ administrative fines to a great extent, they are even, as far as writing state citations, that's even far less than that. That's just not seen as the most productive route to go to solve some of the, I would say probably the majority of the problems. That's been the, not just for animal control, but from the department's perspective, mm-hmm. if there's means other than enforcement that we can accomplish some of these things, that would be a preferable route for us.
Okay.
Let's go to page 55 with the dispatch. And it's up $49,000 overall, $158,000 in employee services. Allocated to other activities right at the bottom of the page, that is the dispatch function that's charged back to police and fire. And it's all about $900,000 a piece that is charged back to the county the police and the fire. The county share is that $942,000 that's listed under non-tax revenue. And the other shares are about $902,000 or so to the police and the fire department.
Mr. Bilderbeck.
Roger, question, or Steve, or anybody, what are we paying to rent or the spot that we're at over in the county?
For dispatch?
Yes.
I don't believe that we are.
No, okay. I was just curious versus that versus moving up to station two where it'd be within our own property. I was just curious if there's a cost or not.
No, I think the issues there are first and foremost a lack of viability of a backup facility,
mm-hmm.
and second is the space need as dispatch is expanding, that we're landlocked where we are with dispatch currently, and the infrastructure was put in place to combine EOC operations and dispatch operations at the new fire station, which encompasses all of that necessary infrastructure and backup capabilities. So our long-term plan is to relocate dispatch to the new fire station and preserve the current dispatch center as the backup facility that would have that secondary capability that we currently lack.
And timetable for that?
We're hopeful to include that with our 2018 proposal in terms of the build out of the police precinct and accomplish hopefully all or most of that at the same time.
Have we been, the question has come up today already, have we been saving money or putting money aside for that project?
No, you have to do a bond issue, I would think, to handle any of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to page 272. I want to go through equipment revolving for the police department.
I'm sorry, what page?
Page 250.
Roger. Is there
250.
Is there any movement on the regionalization of dispatch?
Yes, there is. We are actually still involved in some discussion with surrounding areas in regard to the feasibility of that. Cost is the driver. There's a, as you can imagine, a reluctance to give up local control over dispatching issues. But as the technology has matured and the cost has risen associated with that function, there's certainly more interest in it now. We're currently doing logging for on a regional basis. I would expect that would build out to dispatching as we progress through that. I don't have a timetable. I would suspect, though, we are probably caught more in a build it and they will come as far as the new dispatch center is concerned, because currently we would not have, or at least have difficulty with regional dispatching in our current facility.
Yeah.
One of the things that we have implemented, or in the process of implementing, is the GTAC Enterprise system, which actually allows, without getting too technical, it allows you to add other agencies to our existing infrastructure, where our current system doesn't allow for that. So we will have the capability of doing that in the near future, and I suspect as costs rise, there will be a greater effort to economize, both by the city and surrounding agencies.
So as it relates to the budgeting process, I guess my question for Dale would be, do we need to be looking at setting up this function as a utility or something that the expenses, the revenue sources can be shared among a wider area when we start providing services outside of the city of Rochester?
Most likely we would just list the revenue sources from other, I mean, since it's not fully supported as a true utility, we would just leave it in the general fund, and we do actually allocate revenues directly to the functional areas that it's coming, that's paying for.
And we'd be comfortable that we'd be getting fairly compensated for, you know, proportional usage elsewhere.
Well, that's however they negotiate the contract, I don't know.
We have had some preliminary discussion, Chief Mark has been involved in drafting a potential MOU between current agencies that we serve, including the county, that would actually establish a governance board of that. It's not going to be envisioned to be a police department function. In order to to serve those various needs, mm-hmm. it would need to have a separate governance board and subsequent budgeting or tax authority in order to make sure that that was equitably addressed. But we would anticipate that that would no longer come under the police department for management or budgeting in the future.
Okay. Other questions, comments?
Okay, then we're on page 252. The police department's equipment revolving. The Ford Expedition. I recommend approval. The replacement, yearly replacement cost of that is the yearly is $13,000. At this budget, we've only placed on 8 months, so it's $8,600. The next two, I did not recommend the Ford F-150s. The next one, Ford Interceptor all-wheel drive, I recommended that. That's a yearly cost of about $11,000. The four Ford Interceptors, I recommended those, and that's a piece at about $15,000 yearly charges. Two additional all-wheel drive, they would be yearly charges $20,000 a piece, and then the specialty vehicle, I did not recommend. Questions on any of those?
Nope.
So in this budget, it comes out additional $100,165 in charges for those eventual replacement of those pieces of equipment. And so now then, I'd like to go to the CIP with the police department, and that's on page 82. Number 10, that's the building improvement to the Think Bank. We have $417,000 that's appropriated for 2017 to make that usable at the current time. And then in 2019, we'll be recommending a bond issue of $10.5 million to finish that up. Number 11 is the LEC expanded identity management. program that's been going on for a number of years, and that's why I indicated that that $129,000 was allocated from front of the page to back to the CIP. Number 12 is the LEC in-squad video system for $200,000 of reserves. Number 13 is police officer protective clothing and equipment at $91,000, and then the unmanned aerial vehicle, the drone, $72,400. And the LEC computer added dispatch upgrade, $35,000. Flipping the page. And that's not years, though, is it? 16 is not years. Right? Is this 16 years?
Yes, that is.
The message switch. What is that?
Disaster recovery court dispatch, and we'll be able to switch operations back up in order to make that happen. The phones are operational on the dispatch site.
That's a city county sharing that at $10,400 apiece. And then all I'm pointing out is the 2017 items at this point in time.
Mr. Wojcik?
So, what is so special about this particular drone?
A lot of program costs. One is contrary to civilian use of drones, mm-hmm. Government use of drones actually requires a pilot's license mm-hmm. with all the physical and
you are a drone.
You know, those are items that would be operational expenses, though, right?
Well, I believe that they've been included in the total cost of the CIP project in order to make that function. That is the operational cost of budgeting somewhere else. The CIP cost includes the equipment acquisition, software acquisition, the training, and equipment necessary to make that work.
So by going down this road, though, then we're obligating operational costs that are not currently reflected in the budget in future years?
Well, those would be initial startup costs, because obviously after somebody obtains the necessary training, they would be required to have recertification down the road, but that would not include the initial.
But I mean the pilot's license? Were you actually going to get someone a pilot's license?
We have two officers currently that would be...
Oh. Okay.
Soon to be, or...
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, $72,400, I was kind of shocked when I saw a drone, because I just bought one for $60.
Yeah. And, we're, obviously looking at one of the aspects of the drone, maybe a little different, but the video and recording capability, and of course, the higher resolution and the greater capacity, the more capability it has, the more that it costs. And at least with other agencies, their experience has been that more than pays itself in terms of functionality, but also in terms of preserving that record. Drones are generally used in, if not critical circumstances, at least most of them are. Have a fairly high consequence, and that record is pretty valuable, so that's something we want to include in the cost to make sure that we can obtain that and preserve that.
Well, when you get your drone, I want to see your drone, and I'm going to compare it to my drone.
Well, I am not, and I will give you the caveat, that the cost that you see reflected there were, at mid-year this year, what we believed would be enough to cover the program. But we recognize that this is an area that costs are dropping rapidly as that technology matures. And any luck at all, we won't spend all that money. And if we don't need to, we won't. But we did put in what we thought was a cost that would be conservative. At the same time, we'd cover all the necessary aspects of it.
But he can probably have a hot box on his so he can make a revenue source of delivering pizzas to people.
Be a revenue opportunity.
Okay, I've got Mr. Bilderbeck and Mr. Campion.
Roger, is this going to have been for RIF?
Yes, anticipate this. Okay. This budget is for RIF.
Is this going to be a shared piece of equipment that the fire would be also able to use if they have pilots?
They would certainly have access to it on request. Mm-hmm. We haven't budgeted for it jointly, but we would certainly anticipate if there was a need from another agency.
Looking back in the last year, how often do you think you would have used this?
In the proposal that was developed, one of the things I asked for was specific examples. I think the kinds, or at least the perception of people, would be used for surveillance or be used for general operations. That's not the case. It's specifically targeted towards missing persons. Either disabled, young children. We've had people that have wandered away from assisted living homes, and those. I believe specific examples, we listed six during the previous, I think, half year period of time. All of those examples were people that were missing in inclement weather situations, cold weather, those kind of things that were life-threatening. As far as how often it would be used otherwise, it may not necessarily be, somebody's life is in immediate jeopardy, but it would certainly, for instance, cover an awful lot more ground than it could on foot. I don't really have an estimation for that. But
and the police department participates in Project Lifesaver, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so that would be huge in an autistic child being missing. Huge.
We really predicated the... As I said, and I think I told the council previously, when the request was brought forward, my immediate reaction was, no way is this going to happen. I'm not getting into the drone thing. Going through about 20 minutes worth of presentation on specific calls that we had and how this could literally save lives, I changed my mind quickly as a result of that, and that's really where our focus is.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Campion, and then Mr. Hickey.
So is this an insured asset, like a are we able to get insurance? Because, I mean, if this thing is going to be deployed in the field and something happens, I'm assuming we can have insurance that will cover its replacement.
I'm more concerned about it dropping into somebody and hurting somebody. That is a liability. Is, so we have $100,000 deductible, so I don't think it'll probably... I don't know what the unit is. I would love to see the unit. I don't know, what it looks like. I don't know if it's...
It's not a military type. High-flying drone. It's an actual quadcopter.
Right. Yeah, this actually fits in the trunk of the squad car.
Yeah, I think the unit itself... It's probably more the camera, and I don't know when we'd have to...
When I go play with it, you should come too.
I intend to. I want to compare it to my $400 drone. See how yours is.
It's on.
Okay, so the cost here is not... I mean, so we've kind of been around this. This is not a cost that's the fixed asset cost. This is a program startup cost.
Correct.
Because the other thing is I assume that the technology changes relatively frequently in this arena, so I wondered, the other side of me was thinking, is this something we should put in the rotating fund, knowing that we're likely to have to replace this thing on a pretty regular basis with new technology that comes in versus trying to constantly find the dollars in here somewhere. Anyway, food for thought. I'd like to.
When we first saw it, we didn't think you'd approve it either until we started hearing the stories.
Mr. Hickey?
Mr. Bilbert asked about infrared thermal camera.
Yes. Forward looking infrared, yes.
Okay.
Ms. Means had a question?
I was just curious about other cities, our size, and if they are using this piece of technology as well. And have there been any results as a product of using this?
Other agencies?
Yes.
Because of the restrictions on specifically licensing and training the personnel, there's not a lot of examples out there. Actually, North Dakota and South Dakota have more agencies using them than Minnesota does. That's changing fairly rapidly. The experience in other agencies, and we looked at other agencies around the country, and so certainly some larger departments have used them. I think the key issue is exactly what they're used for. For instance, in the Dakotas, by policy, these drones were actually armed and had capabilities that were not contemplated.
See, I don't have that on mine.
Yes.
Dakota, don't go here.
And I think that's going to be one of our tasks, is to compare apples to apples in terms of programs, that as we intended the use of these, and what we would be asking you to approve is their use in situations where they have the potential to save lives, locating missing people, covering a large area of ground, as I indicated earlier. We have no intent to utilize them as an offensive type of capability, and that's where we've seen, and I think we want to be careful about the comparisons that we make. And, as Dale indicated, drones come in all kinds of sizes and capabilities, and I'm cautioned against using the word drone because that brings to mind that military model, and I am the person that has done all the work on this is repeatedly reminding me it's an unmanned aerial vehicle, not a drone. That's one of the things we want to emphasize is it is that because of how we intend to use it.
I think your responses are real compelling to the type of use intended for this alternate name you described for the drone.
How does so do you have a particular drone that you're looking at?
There were a few of them that were that the price structure was based on. We haven't picked any, or obviously we don't have any one piece of equipment picked out at this time. One of the things that we, as I indicated earlier, when this program was developed, which was about 6 months ago, this is technology is maturing quickly enough that's we're not looking at that particular model anymore. But hopefully the price will be a little lower, the capabilities will be a little greater. But we are, in general terms, what we're looking at is a vehicle that is small enough to be stored in the trunk of a employee supervising the vehicle, accessible on scene, immediately accessible when needed.
Flown from on scene, or is this a remotely operated unit?
They are, again, part of the quandary with the FAA licensing. It's intended they'd be available on scene. If they're remotely operated at outer sight, you actually need an instrument rating and a pilot's license in order to operate.
Depending upon the height of the commercial requirements.
So that's pretty labor intensive at that point. We don't have an intent right now to do that, and we'll assess the feasibility of doing that going forward. But the way it's intended is we're not going to use these in a covert manner. So it's not necessary that we're,
Sorry, my point was going in a different direction. It was just, if we had the capability to operate them remotely, equipping sheriff's vehicles, that would be covering a broader area, and then offering that service as a charge back to the county or something like that. If we had an individual who was licensed to do that, might be something we could get into to do kind of a joint sharing of that technology. If the $72,000, if it's only $15,000 for the drone or something like that, then equipping several vehicles with this is not outside the question. So it could be some way to make broader use of that capability. But anyway, we've spent quite a long time on a $72,000 item. So.
For myself, I guess I'm not quite there yet. I'm not persuaded that I understand the value to public safety, but that's not the question. I'm not persuaded that the usage justifies the ownership and operational cost. I'm still also not quite comfortable with why couldn't this be a departmentally shared item. I'd like to see a stronger comprehensive proposal between police, sheriff, even fire or emergency management. I'm just not quite there yet.
But I can tell you just in terms of responding, the use, as I said, we've had several incidents where, to be very blunt, we could have saved lives and we didn't. People died because we couldn't find people, and that's what the request is predicated on. As far as sharing, the ongoing cost of this is licensing and capability and FAA compliance. It's really difficult to, it's not that the resource is not shared. We certainly intend to do that. But to have multiple operators from different departments doesn't make economic sense. That's where your cost is.
Well, that's why, as an alternative, I wonder why we're not exploring a contracting option. Now, I don't know what companies are out there, and I understand the credentials that are needed and so forth, but I wonder if that option has been explored. Could we contract it on the hopefully infrequent use that's needed and get some sense of what the true cost is before we dive in and buy our own? I don't know. Has that been explored?
Well, I mean, it has from the operational standpoint. That is, if we have the person, as we had earlier this year, where a person was suffering from mental health issues, very cold night, lost. The only way we had to locate them was their cell phone. Couldn't do it within about a half mile square area. This was at Silver Lake. We couldn't find the person until it was too late. Now, if we contract for somebody to come in and set up the drone and do that service for us, we're too late. If we don't have it accessible to officers to use in the field, granted, drones can be used for a lot of things in terms of crowd control, surveillance, and planned events. It doesn't work very good to contract for emergency events because the availability is not there.
But I suppose similarly, we're only talking about perhaps a couple of staff members that would have the appropriate training and credentialing, so you're banking on the fact that those two staff are available as well, or whatever number that staff is. So it's a personnel, kind of a specifically trained personnel issue. Just any patrol officer can't.
That is correct. Although, much like we've seen with our other specialty functions, whether that anything from the emergency response unit to canine units, when people are tasked to be on call, we know that the response that we get is going to be immediate, and we know know it's going to be reliable. When we've contracted privately for services, and we use blood draws as an example, as a very time-critical element when we have an accident, we need a blood draw for a potential criminal vehicular operation, those kind of investigations, and we've seen that it's not reliable from the standpoint of not having. And that's another instance where we've had to train staff to be available to be on call in order to respond to that. Frankly, the consequences are too high not to be able to have a timely response to those type of incidents.
Mr. Campion?
I was just going to suggest we table this. I actually think that this deserves more discussion, but I'm not sure how to handle a few of these budget items where they're not, I understand your argument for it, but rather than, I think the remainder of the review is pretty significant, and we have a lot of staff probably waiting around to get their department. When is there a way that we should handle these?
Mr. Hickey, then Mr. Wojcik.
So what's, you're recommending it right now. You're recommending it as part of the CIP, is that correct, Steve?
Yes.
So, I mean, is there that much, is that many questions, or we just move on? I mean, I think.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to derail the discussion. It really goes to a broader question of things like, and we're questioned on this often by the public, where are the opportunities for shared services or contracted services, rather than perhaps immediately jumping to the conclusion that we need to do our own or own our own. The amount of money here is not the issue. It's more of a philosophical. You know, what are the things that we should take on? And so, but I'm not gonna beat this one up, Mr. Wojcik.
Yes, this is droning on.
It's
droning on. I would suggest we leave it in the CIP. The chief of police understands what our questions are, and we can simply instruct him before that the decision to purchase is made. He can come back to us and answer those additional questions.
When you're ready.
Amen.
He's already answered questions about sharing resources once, they have
Okay. Next. Okay. Page, go back to page 59, fire department. Thank you. This particular function ended up at $963,000. $782,000 of that is in employee services. Greg had requested 6 firefighters and has been looking around for some time for some land for a future fire station number 6. Point out is under regular overtime. We have that's budgeted $650,000. The overtime through October is $767,000. So again, Greg was one of those 6 firefighters and hope to be able to, reduce that overtime somewhat. The other thing is that in the insurance there, that's up $271,000. Other items I will point out is under contractual maintenance and repair. That is $98,000 increase, and that is parts and painting for some of the major fire vehicles that need to be kept up to date. Those fire vehicles hopefully last about 15 years, and they're very expensive, but they do need to have certain types of new transmissions and new motors, different motors, and I know that you have plans on painting at least 1 or 2 of them next year. The other thing, utilities up $20,000. The fire share of dispatch and their contractual services, the middle of the page is $902,000. And the other charges down at the 2/3 down at the bottom, and that's the vehicle and computer replacement charges. Questions?
Question, Mr. Walker.
So the firefighters from 43 to 45, is that a reflection of partial years becoming full years, or is there actually an addition there?
No, those are probably a full year because we just hired the group this year. We brought back the 3 positions were on since 2010, and then we added, they got 2 replacements to the retirement. So we just graduated here about a month ago, 5
I mean, my question is, the total firefighters goes from 43 to 45, and the from 20, and Stephen's not recommending at this point additional firefighters, I believe.
I have not.
And so something's got to come for that number. Something's got to. Is it? And I was wondering, did we were we using partial years for the 2016 numbers or?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there was. We did 75.75 for each position.
So 2016, we had two partial funded positions, and then you also authorized us to fill a unfunded position for the quarter. So
and that took us back to our 2010 levels.
And I once we get to changes, the you know, we project out in our staffing plan a need for firefighters escalating into the future. There is nothing special about future years that's going to make it any less painful from this one. We got it. We got to take our lumps and keep making some progress.
What was the overtime budget till October? Did you say
through October at $767,000?
Some of that is made up from salary savings because we've had funded but unfilled positions. So we save some of that salary line item. But as soon as you hire firefighters and put them through a 10-week academy, then you lose that salary savings. But you don't lose the overtime spend. And on top of it, this year we've had a terrible year with some injuries, some back and shoulder injuries among our group. Linda can probably speak to that on the details, but had a terrible year with on-duty injuries.
And some of that overtime is the Fair Labor Standards Act. It's just,
it's
not optional. It's just mandatory.
Does that? Does that backload the overtime?
No, actually, it's a pretty good bargain with Fair Labor Standards overtime because under federal law, firefighters are, I don't want to get in the weeds too much, but they're allowed 53 hours a week without overtime. And our schedule works off to 56 hours on an average annual basis. So that 3 hours we pay actually at halftime because we're already paying them through salary leveling every 2 weeks. So those hours that qualify, they get half again. So
I'm not getting to the question I want, so okay. I'm going to cut you off just so that we can get through this because I'm already hearing about people wanting to move on. So, sorry, it says 630 for September actual for regular overtime, and then you just told me 760, so we accrued in 1 month time. 100.
No. That's the aggregate for the year so far.
Yeah, so far throughout for the 10 months.
But he's right. We can go from September until... Yeah.
Sorry, the actual for September was 630. So yes. In a month's time, we accrued $130,000 worth of overtime expense.
Yeah, possible. Yeah. Some of that may include reimbursable overtime too, I believe.
So this year, the actuals from 2015 were about $700,000. We filled additional positions, and we're going to exceed the actual from 2015, even though we've added firefighters.
The clarification there is you added firefighters in the third quarter. So we did not have the firefighters until the end of the, or beginning of the fourth quarter.
Oh, I thought you said they were three-quarter funded for this year.
They were not hired until September. They graduated in November 15th. So they were approved, but we did not hire, because we hired in class.
Okay, but we approved them as a three-quarter funded position last year? Two of them as one three-quarter or both as one three-quarter, so it'd be one half full-time for the full year. I'm sorry, I'm asking questions. I'm trying to get to the bottom of if we add firefighters and our...
Two people.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that was funded, wasn't funded, but then we authorized
one more. So then, like if somebody retires, they don't replace it right away. They go in a pool. Okay. And they hire them all at the same time. I believe police does the same thing. They hire them out at a group. Yeah.
So there's a big lag, but you're still paying for them before you actually have them on the street. You're still paying overtime.
Yeah, I understand that part. I wanted to make sure that I was understanding the growth, the projected growth of the overtime expense.
You save salaries, spend overtime.
Right.
Once positions are vacant.
Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Bilibak.
Where does it identify any state federal funding?
Well, we get reimbursed for hazardous materials for training related to the team, as well as through the state, the Joint Powers Agreement we just approved here a couple weeks ago with the Minnesota Structural Collapse Team, called Minnesota Task Force 1. So, for example, we generated a loan, $40,000 for a massive drill with the National Guard and other partners across the state, but we were reimbursed for those costs. That's one of the problems with looking at our specifically called out in there. Sometimes that number is a little bit artificially large, but it is still a big number regardless.
Yeah, I guess that would be my follow-up question, if I may. When does it escalate to the point of needing to be addressed? Because if we're running, we're already over budget by $30,000 as of September, and I'm hearing we could end the year $300,000 over the budgeted overtime. Like, at what point does there have to be a bigger conversation about this? Or
Well, two thoughts. One, we have to look at the aggregate cost of that personnel line item, salaries, and to see where we come out. And usually those come out in balance, you know. And but number two, the more important issue is the level of overtime we are spending. As a concern, we've had staff discussions about it, and I was anticipating coming back around the end of the first quarter next year to with a proposal for you, but I don't have enough meat on the bones yet, but that's something we've had quite a bit of discussions at, because there's some costs associated with the city that for overtime that I would like to avoid. Because when you pay into a pension system, for example, it's based on salary, and if someone's part of that salary is at time and a half, then that raises the city's costs for that pension system. So that's something that we've had internal discussions on. But
I had no doubt that the fire chief would handle being on the hot seat just fine. So there you go. I'm done.
I think in our staffing plan, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we said we could fund two full-time firefighters with reduction in overtime. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yes, but I am getting at a bigger, broader statement on this, is that I've heard that argument, and now I'm trying to figure out, when we add positions for that argument, does that actually happen? Because I'm not saying that this is true or false, and I'm not pointing fingers, but we funded positions, and yet our overtime liability actually increased.
Yeah,
so
I think you have to look at all of the factors involved, like Greg said.
It's extremely complicated, and in fact, I don't want to look at it, but I do want you to look at it.
Well, I mean, if you look at it real simplistic.
I want to look at it.
If you look at it simplistically, we need 12 bodies to staff an engine company 24/7. And so as you ramp up to that staffing, we staff 25 on duty. So if I were to hire six next year, for example, that would give me a buffer, if you will, to maintain 25 on duty without having to hire overtime. So that's where the savings would be. But once you put another engine company on the street full time, then you're going to have overtime costs, because now you'll be staffing that 28 every day. But in that window of time, there's quite a bit of savings. So
if I could make one comment, I think maybe to answer Commissioner Campion's question, to really see the savings, you almost have to wait till the next year. That's where you see the savings.
Right.
So that year that you hire them, because they're on partial year, we're double paying. So while they're in their recruit class, we're paying for two people to fill one position. And one of the people is filling at time and a half. So you're paying 2.5% for that one position until they come online.
And I just took a note that I'm going to bring this back as a cow subject, because this is a big issue, and I'd rather have a conversation in a constructive manner than
we hope to have a proposal for you by then, too.
So. Awesome.
One other point about that, though, it's very difficult to project black and white on this, because you could have a couple workers' comp injuries, a couple unexpected FMLA leaves, and your whole plan will be shot out of the water for things you can't expect. So I don't know if you can ever get real finite. You can do the best you can with projections, but things happen in life, and everything will get you out of this. So that's the other side of it.
We will have a proposal for next year. So,
Mr. Fildebeck, talking about injuries, are the injuries that are sustained, are you working with our safety officer to see if there's anything that could have been done, should have been done?
Well, yes. I mean, we have a reporting process through that has to be followed when someone gets an on-duty injury, but I don't know that any of these were related to any unsafe practices, because we're pretty diligent about our practices and policies and job engineering, if you will, how we equip and train the firefighters. But you know, that's always a concern, yes.
Yeah, and the reason I ask is because we saw what a great reduction they had in injuries at RPU, and that was one of the reasons that we said, yes, the city needs to make sure we have a safety officer. So I just want to make sure that we're utilizing that position.
We've started.
Good. All right. Any questions, Connor?
Okay. Do you want to do emergency management before we go through CIP on that, or what? Or do you want to do that? Okay, then we'll go to page 252 on the equipment revolving before we stay with the fire department. and replacement vehicle under fire administration. That's a cost of this budget is $3,300, a yearly cost of $5,000. Under fire suppression, that the Chevy Suburban Commercial is, I recommended approval. That cost of this budget is $3,400. On a yearly basis, that's $5,100. And I say this budget because we're budgeting for 8 years, eight months, assuming that it'll take about that long to order it and get it there. The ladder truck is, cost of this budget is $60,000, and on a yearly basis is $90,000 for a period of 15 years to replace that. Questions? All right. Okay, then let's go on the CIP at page 82 again. And then number one project, fire station infrastructure improvements at various stations, $75,000. Land acquisition for a future fire station, number six, in case during 2017 Greg would find a location that would be suitable for such, then recommend it to the council would be $700,000 transferred from a reserve account that we have. Number three is update of video conferencing equipment, $100,000. And I guess that does it for your stuff.
Yeah, I think everything else is out in future years.
Pardon?
I think everything else is out in future
years. Yes, everything else in future years. And yep. The other one is for camp
yep.
to discuss. Any questions on that?
Mr. Walker.
Do we at least have a plan on the shelf or know what needs to be done to address the energy issues? I think it's Fire Station 3.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked that. We did in-house with Fire Station 4. We went through and
that's South Broad.
Staffed it. That's one on 41st Street.
44, thank you.
And since that's a larger station, and we replaced all of the lighting with LED, and that was all done in-house, so we got an RPU rebate on that. And so we're going to sort of methodically work through the stations with some of those lighting improvements. Station 3 is one of our worst ones in terms of on a square footage basis, I think, mm-hmm. for energy. And some of that is design.
Yeah.
3 and 5 both, I think, have a higher energy usage than we would like. But we did that project that had considerable savings on Station 4. We're talking about doing Station 1, which is the other large station.
What, so it's ultimately, it's building envelope that's the issue with those, or?
Well, I don't know how much I get the weeds of that. Probably okay, here where they did three, but basically there's an attic area that's sprinklered, and that has to be kept warm. The original design called for a dry sprinkler system, so it wouldn't have to be insulated. For whatever reason, it was installed as a wet system, so it does have to be kept warm so it doesn't freeze. There's some, I believe we looked at it once, there's some insulation over the living areas that's could be upgraded. There's some lighting issues. The truck bay is primarily heated by that in-floor radiant heat. I don't think it's doing the energy savings job it should. So there's a laundry list of things there.
We'll defer this to a future committee meeting, but it's something to look for in terms of ROI.
Yeah. I'd love to see some solar panels, but that's a whole other part.
The neighbors love it over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm serious. I mean, really, we've talked about that internally. I was a editorial comments, but we would like to see that because we our daytime electrical usage, you know, with truck bays and that, if we could mitigate that, I think we'd see some real savings.
I know a guy. Can set you up.
Okay.
Mr. Goldback? Chief, you talked about a wet system versus a dry. Mm-hmm. Is there a potential possibility to go back to a dry system?
Our fire protection engineer says it's cost prohibitive.
You got to rip it all out. It's not piped or pitched right away. The pipe hook size is wrong. It's pitched incorrect.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
There will come a point where if we ever push to move that fire station further to the west for whatever reason, it's sitting on an incredibly valuable piece of land now.
So we'll sell it.
Westwood
work. I mean, actually, we'll talk about it. We've done some profiles a little bit Westwood, heard a bit.
Let's not talk about one station at a time, all right?
Yep. I got three money for that deal.
No, it's not like a bargain. Two, three, get one free.
Okay. All right, let's go to page 71, emergency management. Ken, you want to come up? An overall increase of $5,100. $16,000 increase in employee services, so we have some reductions in the rest of it. Contractual maintenance and repair, that was increased for an alerting system cost. And Greg, do you want to talk about your alerting system and what you've been trying to do with that alerting system?
Or Ken?
Right now we are using a system from the state of New York. Based on our partnership with Buffalo Computer Graphics, we've been able to use that system at a reduced cost. The the system is going to be shifting. The state of New York no longer wants to sell these systems. The person that started that process, Kevin Ross, has left a couple of years ago. They'd like to get out of the emergency alerting business on the commercial side. They don't feel that's their role in state government. And Buffalo Computer Graphics will be interested in taking it over. The preliminary cost we have on that is going to be $64,000 for them to take it over. So I've been looking at other systems that are out there and available for us to use. We are looking at RPU to do a partnership with them on Everbridge alerting system. That's not going to work out because of some of the data privacy issues. I'm looking now at a system, Rave Mobile, that is up-and-coming system that gives us a lot of flexibility. It also gives us future expandability. They have a system called Smart 911. We would not be purchasing that. We'd just be purchasing the emergency alerting piece. But the Smart 911 gives residents the ability to be able to put profile information into an app, and if they get a 911 call at their address, then that information automatically pops up in the CAD system. So I like that new system, and it looks like we're going to be moving from where we're at currently to something new for 2017.
Mr. Bildeback. So Ken, what about IPAWS?
So IPAWS, there are two different types of alerting systems. One is an opt-in, the other one is an opt-out. The opt-in is the Rochester Alert, whether it's powered by the Newark Alert System or Rave Mobile or Everbridge. The trouble with those opt-in systems is that generally enrollment is really low. That's why we're hoping to do a partnership with RPU, because we thought that we could really increase membership or opt-ins with that system. The IPAWS system is the federal presidential alerting system. It's how the Amber alerts are sent out. That is an opt-out system. If you take a look at your cell phone, if it's a newer smartphone, there's actually a button in there. If you dig in, it says, no, I do not want to receive emergency alerts. Most of us have that turned on because we don't know where to find it. That's an opt-out system. That gives us the ability to do two things. One, the emergency alert system, and two, wireless emergency alerts. Wireless emergency alerts, we can send a message to all cell phones that are within distance of the towers that we ping. Sorry, I don't want to get too technical, but that's great for all the visitors that we have to Rochester. If we have to alert people, then we can reach out and grab them. Any new system that we have will have IPAWS as a part of it. But we also need the ability to reach for people for these non-life-threatening emergencies, for other things, weather, thunderstorms, things that we've historically, that you've received alerts from, have been through Rochester Alert, and I haven't, in the 4 years that we've had IPAWS, we have never had anything, fortunately, that has been life-threatening where I've had to send out an IPAWS alert. We've tested it. But we've never had to send out a live one.
So we'll still have IPAWS.
We'll still have IPAWS. We'll never give it up. It's good value.
All right. Okay. Other questions, comments?
Okay, then I'll just mention without going to the CIP, Ken has $10,000 in there to replace a warning siren on the West Circle Drive in the area, I think, kind of west of that new Hy-Vee store.
Okay. Ken, just real quick, there was a discussion in the council meetings about when are you looking at where new projects are being built, when they, if they have the protection of the sirens or not, because some may be blocked by new additions to the city. So are you keeping up on those?
Yeah, there are really two areas. That the area by Hy-Vee, our expansion up over by Menards in that area. Sirens are like any sort of audible sound. It's really loud when you're here. It's also audible here, and it's also audible out here. But because of our hills and valleys that we have around here, we actually could drop off in our coverage out here. Right now, the whole city is covered out to here. We have full coverage. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we've got good coverage within this next zone in. I don't know if my illustration is really good enough. But at any rate, in that area up there, yeah, we have good coverage, but when we start getting up that hill toward the water tower over by the Hy-Vee, or when we start, when you take a look across from Menards and you can see the apartment buildings that are being built closer and closer to 75th Street, we don't really have good coverage out there. And those are the two areas right now
let me take another swing at maybe
we're off on this.
I made a mistake on this too. That what the $10,000 was for technology improvements at the current operations center up in Circle Drive.
I think the sirens in the next year was 2018.
So I apologize. I made a mistake. We have that siren for 2018.
I think the thing we might be talking about is we just heard a development proposal down on Center Street.
Right.
Public testimony individuals talked about. They quoted various standards that talked about line of sight and things like that. And I know the fire department is one of the agencies that reviews all development proposals, but it caught me off guard as far as the line of sight and audible proximity and all of that. Is that what you're talking
That's
about?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Do you know what we're talking about?
It's over by Mayo Ballpark. There's going to be a project built in there, and it's going to block the siren that goes into the neighborhood. So my question is, are you keeping up on these developments so that you're able to move these sirens as needed?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I do get all the development stuff, and I do look at that, but no, I don't have the time to really go through and pull each one of them up or go over to those meetings for that. But what we do is we do run a study through Google, and we have through Google Earth, where we take a look at what the decibel range is for those. We'll have to run it again when we get that building built.
Because we are getting a lot of construction around some of these buildings.
Yeah, and we're starting to infill, and we're going to go up and get it.
Kit has installed some sirens in public parks too, with a voice alerting system, which is kind of works in conjunction with these, so people can
know. That's what my thought was. When we added Quarry Hill, we actually added a lot of layers over where you're talking about, toward Mayo Field. We actually have a good overlap in this center part of the city because of the density that we have for sirens. Our issues are on the outskirts as we're doing development further out. That's where we're noticing a sound drop on.
Mr. Wojcik, do you have a comment?
I'm good.
Okay.
If I could throw something out, 3 years ago, the mayor appointed me the emergency management director, which is working for the chief. I didn't see a difference because he's always been very good about giving me the responsibility and having me run with it. But one of the things that we did was we dropped off the Joint Emergency Management Committee with the county. I'm not so certain that we need to necessarily add that joint committee. commission with the county again, since we have two separate agencies. But having a policy group that I could turn to for some of the items that come up would be handy, and would be my desire to see that group formulated again. I don't want to have regular meetings, maybe once a year, as we go through updating emergency operations plans or taking a look at these things like emergency alert systems. I think it would be good to have a body that I could come to talk about some of these larger policy issues.
Okay.
Okay. Then let's go to page 63 in building safety. That function got about $433,000. $401,000 of that is in employee services, and that includes two additional building inspector recommendations with a total of $167,000. I point out the estimated revenues for this particular function goes up about $136,000, and so these revenues from the building permits more than covers the cost of this particular function. Questions?
Question.
All right. And I think then on equipment revolving on page 252, there's a car. And my question, Randy, did we cover all your cars that you needed with those additional building inspectors?
I requested two replacements and then two new. There's four.
No, okay. Questions on equipment revolving?
Pretty straightforward.
All right. Okay. Then, flood control on page 67. Michael, do you want to back up here? These costs are paid out of our flood control account, and luckily we've had a lot of money in there over the years to take care of this thing. Our current balance in there is $19,040,000. So, you have any highlights you want to point out, Michael?
Yeah, I want to point out that over the last 5 years, we've made a pretty big effort to get some preventive maintenance taken care of that's been, let's say, lax, but it was not done as routine as it should have been. So over this last 5 years, we've done a lot of work out here. This past year, you'll see in 2016, some of those numbers are down a little bit. That has reflected then in a reduced budget for 2017. Now, that could change again based on the Corps of Engineers coming back and giving us a negative report, for example, but right now they've gotten a fairly positive report for us in 2016, so we don't anticipate that happening.
Okay. Then, under equipment revolving, there is recommendations for replacement of a 3/4-ton pickup. A boom mower for trackless is new.
Thank you.
And a Gator Workman Cushman is new. And a wood chipper with a grapple, that's a replacement. The total cost of those in this particular budget for 2016 is $34,245. Any question on those particular pieces?
Questions, comments?
Okay, then let's look at our capital improvement book again on page 74. Mainly standard maintenance. Michael, do you want to hit any high points on these particular items?
Yes, two. You'll see in there under the second item for trail maintenance activities overlays. We actually were planning on doing about a $100,000 project this past year, and we had money for that planned. The bids came in at $150,000, so we're actually adding some money back into this year to do that work. The second item is, you'll see under item 5, is the Silver Lake sediment removal. We've been working on that. We're getting in the design phase right now. We've had testing done on the material that's in the lake currently, and there's not a concern for that. We identified a new location for that sediment to go. We dredged that area out, and that'll be forthcoming probably in the fourth quarter or the first part of 2018.
Mr. Villebeck.
Mike, how often do we have to dredge the lakes?
We've not dredged the lake at all. We've dredged portions of the river itself, upstream from the lake itself.
more around the government center here down by the connection to Bear Creek. Newman's Beach, yes, exactly. The original regiment occurred back in the 90s, 98, I believe it was, 99, was the last time that majority of work was done.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wojcik.
Why would we ever need to dredge Cascade Lake the way it's set up?
We still do have infiltration coming into the lake during flooding events.
Oh, okay.
In the original design, based on pre-Atlas 14 data, it would flood in about a 25-year event. With the new flooding data that we now have, it's probably going to be, we've not calculated it, it's probably a 15 to 10-year event, okay. So it's much more often than we anticipated. So maybe some dredging out there for that.
Okay.
It's happened once so far since the new improvements have been in.
Mm-hmm. I remember, it was interesting.
2007.
And the other part, we've only got, it looks like, $35,000 for riverbank stabilization.
Correct.
We have I know quite a few riverbanks that probably need to be stabilized. Are we going to be able to stabilize what we need to do with that budget?
You'll look in, that's more the emergency repair that we look at. You know, we lost part of Zumbro Trail this past fall. We're actually looking at working on that right now at end of December, early January. Part of that money will be used for that activity. The bigger restoration areas you're referring to that are around the entire system will be a CIP activity.
Okay.
We are looking as part of this, that same section of Zumbrill from 52 or from that area all the way up from the drop structure. Mm-hmm. Look at that as part of an overall bigger project, probably $1 million project ultimately.
How about
Cascade Creek is also in that same conversation. We have a plan done for that already, or at least a concept that was done several years ago. Implementation has been put on hold.
About how much are we talking? Millions?
It was $1.5 million,
okay.
$2 million. I don't recall the exact number.
It's on hold.
I'm trying to save some of our seed money for a little while longer.
Yeah, understood.
And again, this is reserve funded, so we try to live off that interest accrual, which has been very low in the last several years, so it does pick that balance down.
Understood.
But we borrow a lot from those funds, so Dale's earning more interest because we pay ourselves higher interest than we get elsewhere. So
good.
Right.
I know I'll have to borrow out, but yeah.
Okay. Then let's go to page 109. Let's discuss the top two-thirds of that page is basically the development district activities that Terry Spaeth is involved in. I guess I would have a suggestion in future years of that probably these expenses should be merged into the city administrator's budget. At one time, some years ago, we had a city administrator's budget, and then we had a development district staff separately. We sort of merged those, but we haven't yet merged these accounts, and it might make some sense to merge them in with the administrators.
I would say we give explicit direction to do that.
What are they for? This is the development district costs that we've kind of had in the past, and it's Terry Spaeth and the salary, and other expenses that may be incurred in carrying out development activities. Would you want to leave it like this?
Yeah, because there's functional things we have to report to the state of Minnesota on what are economic development activities versus, unless it's not development activities.
Well, yes, it's worked that way for some years, if that's fine the way for accounting purposes.
We specifically moved it out of here years ago just so that it got reported under the right category. So
okay.
To me, that seems like a limitation of our system as opposed to a policy thing.
Well, it's a limitation of the state of Minnesota's reporting requirements because they want to try and compare cities. But
we do fund accounting within departments.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter to me, but we'll end up having to split it back out again and go back to the state the way that we have to report it under the state.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, and I think Mitzi and I were having this conversation. It's a discussion about people start thinking about, well, what do I manage? So put me in one area, but it really is, well, what are you doing? And put me in those functional areas is the way the accounting system works. So, but we can budget it any way you want and account for it in a different way if you want. So,
leave it for now.
Sorry to disagree.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine. Probably I should have brought it up.
Well, that, isn't it hindsight 2020? Isn't that what this is?
Well, I mean, you were jumping right to a direction.
The other thing I'll point out on the bottom of it, under other charge or contributions. We'll discuss that later on in the next days, and about that, the $2.5 million to the RCDB and $51,000 to Ready, that's on the contributions that we'll discuss later.
And so any other questions on that?
Steve, if you don't mind, I would just like to point out, I mean, I noticed, and I've known this for some time because I've seen it throughout the year when I get the advertising and publishing and printing charges are really high for this year, but with all these different development projects we got going on, those costs have just been astronomical. Some of the hearing notice things and stuff like that, when you put those ads out in the TV and this and that, it's pretty expensive. Some of our printing costs for sending out all these different plans and whatnot to all the various entities, it's gotten pretty steep here this year with all the development activities, so that's why there's such an uptick on that particular line item.
Okay. Then let's go to page 95 of the music function.
Steve, you want to come over here?
And what I've done with Steve over the years is give him a bottom line, and then he takes and moves the money around as he deems necessary. So I gave Steve a bottom line figure of $684,000. That basically covers the increased cost of employee services, plus provides $10,000 to cover the stage cover costs at the Mayo Civic Center. The tax funding of this particular function would increase by $33,000 under my recommendation. Questions?
Steve, since you talked about the canopy, where are we at with the canopy?
We continue to rent the canopy. I'm not sure where that is on the work plan for the Civic Center right now. I think there was some money included in the CIP, but there's been no further discussion. It's been a couple of years.
Because now, what, 3 years we've rented the canopy?
Yes, well, 4 years now.
Four years. So in that time, we could have bought one?
That's correct.
What's the buy? $30,000? Is that what I remember?
It costs about $100,000 to purchase one to do the capabilities that we need.
I think the thing with the Civic Center wanted to look at how you could use something more long-term there. So really, Steve and Donna need to get together and talk about
the plan. I guess that would be my request. I want to know because I think it's crazy for us.
Yeah, I think they need to be figured out.
Purchased by now and have paid for and had a number of years for it.
One of the first items that I will wish to discuss in 2017 is what we are going to allow to happen and what the future of Mayo Park is down there. So we give some explicit direction, enabling some activities, prohibiting some other activities, but make some decisions down there.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. All right. Okay. Now let's go to page 117, and now unallocated. What I point out here is under rents and leases that the $64,181 is paid to the airport for all the records we keep out at the airport terminal and basement storage. And we basically offset some other expenses that go to the airport by that particular payment. But John Reed thought it was necessary accounting for the FAA that he charges rent for that use of that basement. We have a lot of records that are stored in that basement. Under expert and professional services, that $22,150, that's the Minnesota Department of Revenue sales tax processing fee. Under other charges, that $12,000 is credit card charges that aren't allocated to any other function. And then under operating transfers, that is the transfer of $1,500,000 out of our either our undesignated reserves or our year-end closing, that is transferred to the CIP for this 2017. In the CIP, there's used $1,500,000 of that. $923,000 of that money is allocated towards the Wheelock Drive construction project up by the fire station number 2. The other cost of that $1.1 million project is paid for by a sewer and water fund. Questions on the allocated?
Ms. Mead?
This question on the basement storage. When are we going to do the scanning so that we can free up some space?
I'm sorry, unfortunately, I don't hear very well, so I can't hear you.
Scanning.
I can't make out.
Talking about scanning of documents.
Pardon?
Scanning of documents. So we don't have anything.
No, I don't.
That's a work in progress, I suppose, or...
So I'm not sure. What do you mean?
So we pay $64,000 for storage. She's asking when we will scan the documents, oh, so we no longer have to pay for the storage.
I don't know if we scan all those documents.
The building safety is underway with their stuff right now, and it's, I doubt half of the stuff that's there we would ever scan, to be honest with you. Because A, it's not very cheap. B, it takes a lot of money if you really do quality control on it like you need to. And storage is cheap, but the systems to maintain that kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff back there, and a lot of it's lifetime storage. So somebody will have to go through there eventually and say, what's lifetime storage?
Is it secure?
Yeah, it's secured. It's all locked up. It's
and the police have their own area, too, that's underneath in the terminal that they store some stuff.
Mr. Campion had a question?
Well, I know we have a new police precinct, and we also have an armory building, and we have a few other buildings where... So I guess I was trying to get at, it sounded like you were saying that there's some math that works out here with some other disbursement we make to the airport.
We didn't used to pay any money to the airport for that.
It's not like we're going to save the money by not paying it.
That's what I was looking for. By not doing this, we're not
just
saving
anything.
We're
paying ourselves, but it's a way for them to cost account it in the airport. So that it's
so we had other
problem
costs
solved.
We had other costs we paid to the airport for the fire department and those kind of things. We deducted the $64,000.
I just wanted to make sure that
the
yeah,
he needed to reflect to the FAA that those assets were getting
got it.
A return on it.
It's a journal entry.
Yep.
Right, anything else?
Then in page 121 is contingency, and that increases from $55,000 from the amount of money we had in there last year. We've had $1 million for a number of years, but in order to reduce some expenses, we took it down to $945,000 last year. And so we're just recommending the million again this year. Okay.
Okay. Questions?
I don't have anything else for today.
So, a couple of general comments. I'll reiterate what I said earlier as we opened, that if this is a... As we've been going through this, I'm looking for ways to drive down the budget. And the fact that we're essentially, you know, kind of at the 11th hour, I mean, we've got... It's a draft budget, but it's spiral-bound and everything. I mean, it's very difficult to look for those opportunities, which is, again, why I'm going to make the case for earlier intervention in 2017. But I do want to be careful that, you know, as you pointed out, Stephen, I don't want to get way down in the weeds. I don't want to look at copier expense and things like that. But we do need to talk about those high-level priorities that definitely have some impact, especially on some of the capital improvements. So just an editorial comment that this just underscores why we're going to want to perhaps try it a little different next year.
Well, another way to look at it, for some years prior to the state's truth and taxation process, we had to have the budget done by the 1st of October of every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could still start the process earlier in the year under the assumption that you start reviewing it in October. The only disadvantage that people that are putting it together and yourself might have is that you're operating on lesser experience.
And I'm not suggesting you necessarily start your process earlier, but it would be helpful if we could convey some of our objectives, goals, what we're hearing, et cetera, that you could have in the back of your mind as you do go through the process. So I'm just suggesting we have some input at the front end at a high level and overall goals. It's going to make it a little easier when we get to this stage. Mr. Bilderbeck and Mr. Hickey.
I think also the thing here, too, is I've seen a couple of things that I want to make sure we bring back to a COW meeting. Number one, building safety. They then talked about the fact we were going to hire people and they're going to show us how that offset by their fees. And I think any of these groups that we've done that with, or we said we've hired because they said they can offset them by fees, I'd like to see if that's actually happened or if it's just something that we've absorbed into our budget. So that's something I'd like to see. I also like to make sure we do come back to the canopy at Mayo Park. I think it's crazy that we're paying rent on stuff that we could have bought and had paid for and would have been ours for years. I think that's crazy. So those are a couple things. That's why I do like this process. I mean, I know we're not hacking here and cutting there, but I do think it's important to hear the conversation that we had, like with Mr. Campion, talking about firefighters and the cost and what to take to offset the overtime cost. I think those are valuable discussions to have, and that's where I'm glad to see you're taking notes on it so that we can bring these back to the COW meeting, because this is where we've got to start hashing some of this stuff up. We can't just wait for December to get here and go through the budget and go, okay, now we've got through that for another year. These are times to make these notes to make sure we address these issues.
Mr. Villebat? I was just curious, early on you mentioned, you know, a potentially retreat. I just wonder what your experience is. So we publish that as an open meeting and invite everybody along? I mean, I assume that's what we have to do.
Well, it has to be published as an open meeting since we have a quorum. But I would treat it more like, more like a COW. In other words, it's not a public hearing.
Right.
It's
So when they do it, do they actually have people observe it, the retreat?
I don't think
they can. We did it when we did it at the Civic Center.
Affordable. That's affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's...
Okay, Mr.
Wojcik,
then Mr. Campbell.
Well, I appreciate the desire to push down what the levy number will be, but in doing so, at the expense of underfunding things that we have already decided to put in place, not okay in my book. If we actually cut out functions or cut out services that we're delivering, I think that's something that we can look at, but to artificially constrain staff and not give resources for the vital functions that we need to, for the sake of pushing down the number, is a short-term solution to a long-term problem, and I think that we're going to be eating some of these budgetary increases to reflect past decisions for a while.
Mr. Campbell?
I actually thought it was a good discussion on the drone, but not the drone policy. So, like, to me, the question that we haven't answered probably is, do we want the police department getting into the drone business, which I think is probably a pretty expensive long-term pursuit. It's not just the one-time $72,000 cost, though that's what's reflected. It's the treadmill of the technology, the, you know, legal ramifications for executing a drone search, and on and on and on, training, all that stuff. I definitely sympathize with the idea that what can look like what looks like a five-figure decision on paper can actually be a, you know, six or seven-figure decision for the city over a decade. And that's the sort of thing where it doesn't look like much, and then it becomes much. So I agree with that.
And I think what I'm trying to do is find that balance between the best use of our time and balance that against the professional expertise of staff. So, for example, on the drone thing, because of the dollar amount, I'm not particularly wanting to get into that. But when we talk about multi-million dollar infrastructure things, that's where I think we have more of an obligation, because they are typically span multiple budget years and so forth. So, you know, I think we have to find that balance of not getting too far into the weeds, but focus our efforts more at the high-level policy things that do have some substantial financial impact. So, for example, if you fast forward and we have a retreat, I don't want to go through this kind of detail. Absolutely not. I think we focus more on some of the high-level objectives, some of which Councilmember Wojcik enumerated, and see if we can help guide some thinking in that regard. Just my comment.
One other thing, too, I think another impetus to have that retreat early next year is we've never done this, but we need to formulate our legislative agenda as a city. And I know we've gotten criticism from our legislators for not having one. I know the county brings them in, and we don't have this formal process of setting it up. And it must be a good point, because even if chamber people will nod with me on that one, then I know we must be doing something right.
That's not true.
We have one every year.
We have no involvement with it.
Well,
that's the issue.
In past years, we've had to approve it, not every year, but we have had one. We give them a list of issues.
So in 2017, we will be approving it.
Well, we're preparing one currently, and you're quite welcome to approve
it. I would, in fact, I would like just to have the four folks on the record now that this will be we will be approving a legislative agenda for 2017. That's all right with you? One.
What's the question?
I want explicit direction to staff that we will in fact be approving the legislative agenda for 2017.
Approving, but
we're having these meetings are being set up, right? So what,
well, we set up meetings with legislators every year. We go through a list of agenda items, which is a compilation of things from the league, the CGMC, and some local ones. We have in the past brought that to the council for approval. I don't have a problem doing that because you can add things to it as
yes.
you wish. It's your program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think we have, well, you don't cover everything that's being covered by the league and the CGMC, but I don't have any problem bringing that forward.
So, perfect.
Yeah. We're all on the same page then?
So it's not like it's being developed as it has been
yeah.
in past years.
We'll have to bring it back for it.
Okay.
For a vote. Yeah. All right. So is that it for this afternoon?
Yeah.
We didn't even get to the cookies.
Unheard of. Yeah. I was going to say, unheard of.
Yeah. 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 We should be disappointed that you were late.
Yeah. Go back to work. Mr. Campion, good job trying to go toe-to-toe on the bad puns. The hot seat? That was way better than my droning on.
Sandra, I will buy you a drone.
I don't know. I'm still working on the treat.
Oh.
It's a bigger monument than
a control. It's like a radio control there. Just holding a remote control. I'm walking around. Up, down, left, right. Camera's recording.
I think the easiest thing to look in there and go like, one of these things is not like
that's more good.
So I actually here's the thing. I'm
located in
There's a number of things.
I don't know of any. Well, as long as the person who's operating is a pilot and observes the FAA rules, I don't have any problems.
No, so I think the issue that you can like that I think it's a lawyer. But, you know, I've got a couple of things left.
Yeah.
Comment about I don't know that the color will stay.
I need to work on it.
I think you're more likely.